Mm-mm. When it snows, my mind goes back to a lot of times. I was going to preach on something else this morning, but my mind goes back to a lot of times in the snow. Brother Tim Black, he sent me a text, you know, Job, he says, talks about the treasures of snow, Job 38. The Lord says about something about the treasures of the snow. But in 2 Timothy, I want to say this, I got some heroes in the Bible, and one of them is Paul the Apostle. And I mean, I think he's the greatest Christian ever lived. And here's a man that was sold out to God. I mean, he sold out everything. Everything. Moses, well, I love to read about Moses. I love to read about Joshua. David, one of my favorites. I love to read about David. And I got some heroes in the Bible. Thank God that you can have heroes from the Word of God. And they are truly heroes. And I believe they, when they went home to heaven, they got a hero's welcome. Amen. And I believe those that serving God is going to go home to heaven and have a hero's welcome that serve God. And those that didn't serve the Lord, I don't know about a hero's welcome. I believe it's important to live for God. If you're watching online, I think it's important to live for God. And you ought to want to go home and have a, you know, say, you know, not so you can go in and everybody can praise you, but that the Lord would be pleased with you. And that God would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And this day and time is going to get tougher and tougher. In evolution, they teach, in evolution, everything's getting better. But somebody went wrong, didn't they? Yeah. Somebody went wrong. Because evolution is wrong, because things are not getting better. Definitely not getting better. Man should be evolving to a better species. He's not. Man's just getting waxing worse and worse because the Bible tells us it's going to happen. Man's getting worse all the time. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The charge, there's 10 charges in this Bible, in this chapter, throughout Timothy I'm talking about. It says, I charge thee before God. It's just like a commander giving a order and a charge, and go on for God, don't quit, keep fighting the battle. As the days get worse and worse, we're going to see more Christians falling by the wayside, more Christians denying the truth. Jesse and I was talking about some preacher evangelists that we know that their kids were raised in evangelism and stuff, and now those kids don't even want to serve God anymore. And you say, what happened? You got kids raised in a Christian home, and they made up their mind they're not going to serve God anymore. Why? What happened? What happened? You know, we're just living in the day and age where people, they want to do their own thing. They want to live. That's been going on for years and thousands of years, really. People want to do their own thing. But it's something that's inside of a child that either makes them want to live for God, follow his dad, mom, or they want to just turn away from it. But the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go when he is old and not depart from it. I know when I was growing up, my dad was my hero when I was a little kid. But then after I started seeing all the flaws, the way my dad lived and drank, he's the one who taught me how to drink, taught me how to fight, taught me a bunch of stuff, bad stuff. My nephew Chris just put a picture of my dad on Facebook the other day, just, you know, talking about he was changing or helping my dad get dressed and stuff, just a picture of my father. It made me think back about the way we were growing up. And that winter time, I remember being out in the winter working all the time. We had to work, and that is just embedded in me. I just had to work, and I don't care what kind of weather it was. And I'm thinking about it. I got a garage, got heat in it, but I'm always outside working on stuff rather than being in the garage. And, my garage is full of junk, and when I go in there to go work on something, I got heat and all that. I go outside. I want to do something out there. It's just embedded in me. But my dad taught me a lot of bad things, but as I got older, he wasn't my hero anymore. As I got older, he wasn't my hero because I thought, and what I thought in my mind, I thought, I ain't going to be like him. Lord, help me. I'm not going to grow up and look like him. I'm not going to live like him. I'm going to raise, and when my wife and I got married, I said, I'm not going to raise my kids the way my dad raised his. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try to do it right. My dad was my biggest obstacle when it came to living for God. He was the biggest obstacle. When it came to me, he would make fun of it, mock God, all kinds of stuff. And when he got saved, it changed his whole attitude, changed his whole life. But Paul's charging Christians, he says, in Timothy, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And you've got to get it, if you're raised in a Christian home, you kids are in here that have families that's saved, you got to find out God on your own. I know that. But I'll tell you what, your parents directed you to that point, but you've got to make a decision. Well, I'm going to get to know him, or I'm just going to run away from him. You got to make that decision. Like the prodigal son said, give me what belongs to me, I'm out of here. And I'm going to tell you this, you make that wrong choice, you can end up in a hog pen and then just feed it and discourage and end up probably blowing your brains out. Because you just say, man, what did I do? I can't go back. I can't admit that I was wrong. I can't admit it. Pride gets in the way. And Bible talks about pride being a haughty spirit, you know, and pride, destruction goes before pride and all that. And what happens is your pride will cause you to fall on your face, and then you don't want to get right with God. My God, have mercy. Lord, and he does. And Paul saying, God's going to judge you quick and the dead. Then he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And there's four seasons. You go back to Genesis, you'll find there's four seasons. You know what? Springtime is a time of life. Springtime. Wintertime is a time of hardness, regrets, can't do things. I said, think about this winter out here, the ground. There's stuff that you would normally do in springtime that you can't hardly do in the wintertime. You can't do it because it's too hard. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Mike was talking about raising your children. There's times you got to rebuke them, but you got to be careful how you do it. You got to be careful how do you rebuke people. Some people talk about how tough they are and how they got, I got alligator hide, but you say one bad thing, they can't take it. They just can't take it. They're ready to quit everything. They're ready to throw in the towel. They'll run with the tail between their legs and say, I didn't think it was going to be too hard. And whine and cry and all kinds of stuff. They talk about how bad and tough they are. They ain't tough at all. You let some hard times come in their life, see how tough the things are. And man, long suffering. The Bible talks about exhort with all long suffering, doctor. Now I say this: if you're the kind of guy that always wants to rebuke and exhort, I mean rebuke people, you better be careful. Because why? It comes right back on you. That's why I'm real careful about. I don't want to rebuke people, man. I hate that. I hate rebuking people. I hate unless it's really necessary, has to be in front of somebody does something, you got to rebuke them. I've been rebuked. And you know what? It's not fun when you get rebuked by somebody, amen? It's not nice. I was down to preaching in Tennessee. I've told you the story. And an old preacher was there, and I said fart from the pulpit. And I said fart, and I was mocking, and that preacher got mad at me. And he walked out. I didn't even know he walked out because I said that word. And, man, and people were laughing. I was just telling a story about some kids I was baptizing. I came down and I stood there next to Larry Seals and David Epp and all those guys. They were still laughing. And I stood down there with the invitation was given. People were at the altar. And then the preacher got up and said, I agree with everything he said except for that one word. And he said, we don't want to repeat that. And I remember, I went, Larry, what did I say? And he started laughing. I said, what did I say? David, I said, what did I say? What's the word? He said, I can't repeat it. I said, what? I thought, and my mind goes to where I started thinking I'm saying something bad. And I told my, and all the way out, then they dismissed, we went out to eat. All the way down, I was trying to ask people, what did I say? And people laughed. They wouldn't say them. One guy came up to me and says, you remind me of that preacher that he cusses in the pulpit. I forget his name. Phil Kidd. And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. I went up to the preacher. I said, I apologize. I'll get up in front of everybody. Because I walked over to the old preacher, and he's sitting at a table. And I walked over to shake his hand. He preached right before me, and I went to shake his hand. And he goes, I said, man, I appreciate your message. And he said, you always talk like that. And I went, like what? Them bad, filthy words. And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, my God. I said, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to offend you. He goes, you didn't offend me, but you shouldn't talk like that. Your mama washed your mouth out with soap. I said, oh, yeah, she would. And finally, I went around to everybody trying to find out what I said. And Jesse, I finally said, Jesse, tell me what I said. And he told me. I went, that's it? But when you're in Tennessee, don't use that word. Anywhere south. But anyway, I said that, and I was rebuked. And that preacher went around the country, telling everybody I had to straighten that preacher out in Delaware. I didn't get mad. I didn't get mad. I thought, yeah, fine. That's great. He's an old preacher. I'm not going to run my mouth against him. No way. Rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering in doctrine. For the time will come where they not endure sound doctrine. Not endure it. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want anything. Don't preach to me doctrine. Don't tell me about you believe the Bible and how there's a real hell. You know, people going to churches that don't even preach in hell don't believe in hell. They're going to churches that don't believe in anything, really. They don't believe the King James Bible anymore. They don't believe a lot of things. Then people go there because, hey, it's just comfortable. And you know what a preacher said to us years ago? He said, if a preacher ought to make you uncomfortable. Amen. And when a preaching, sometimes, I'm not saying you just get up every time. I used to get up every time I got up, I rebuke. But I'll tell you what, you're supposed to exhort too. And the Bible tells us so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to exhort each other. Why? Times are going to get hard. Things are going to get tough. The world beats you up enough out there. You got enough fights out there. Shouldn't have it in church. But it says they'll not endure sound doctrine. And it says, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I mean, man, I don't know how in the world the person gets saved and knows that Bible and go back to a Catholic church. I don't know how in the world a person that knows that Bible that's true and then go back to some liberal church that doesn't preach the Bible. I can't understand that. I just don't understand. That's beyond me, man. I'm glad I don't understand that. But people do. They'll go, they're nicer. And I realized there was a movement in our country with the Bible believers. There was, man, these guys have got hard. And they were hard on people and they're just hard the way they. And I remember I talked to a preacher, I talked to him the other day. I remember this preacher told me, he said, he was about crying on the phone. He said, Brother Allen, he said, I heard a lot of people with my mouth. He said, I heard a lot of people. And he said, I'm going to try to make amends. Here he is, 70-some years old. I mean, you got to be careful with your mouth. But the Bible says they're heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why you go, any Bible school you go to today, they don't believe that book anymore. I mean, just about any Bible school. There's not very many Bible schools there. Now, let me say this. There's some raising up because the Bible schools in the past that used to be on fire for God, that used to be, man, teaching the Word of God and all that, now they're going down the drain. Why? Because the teachers have an itch in ears. People don't want to stay with sound doctrine. They want to come up with something new. Now, this is why I'm preaching about this morning. I'm trying to get to it. It says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, folks, we talked about truth. You better love it. You better not sell the truth. You better love God's truth. Amen. You better hold to it and be turned on to fables. Watch thou on all things. You got to watch everything in your own life. And what the problem with a lot of people, they're watching everybody else's life, and they're not looking at their own. You got to be looking at yourself. You look at yourself every day in the mirror, man, about 4 or 5 times, maybe more, some of y'all, maybe more than that. But you look at yourself in the mirror, and what you got to do is realize, hey, man, I'm no good. I'm up to no good, and I got to keep my heart right. I got to watch me. I got to keep my eye on me, on my own way, on my own thoughts, on my own feelings, all those things I got to keep my eye on. Why? Because you'll go off the track. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, but make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I mean, Paul, man, this guy, when he got saved, y'all read your Bible in the book of Acts, and when he got saved, he was on the road to Damascus. He had letters from the high priest to go jail Christians, to go put them in jail. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned to death, and the Bible says Saul, he went up there, and he's holding the coats of those that killed Stephen. He's sitting there holding the coat. I mean, Paul was zealous. He was zealous for the work. He thought God's work at that time. He thought, man, I'm going to go after these people that start this new sect, this Christianity thing. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to stop them. And he held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. Can you imagine when Paul got to heaven? You think Stephen was at the gate waiting on him? Or was Stephen over in the corner saying, man, I can't believe Stephen Paul. Okay, he gets to come up here? I can't believe that. No, I bet you Stephen was at the gate waiting on Paul. And Paul probably hugged him. He said, man, Stephen, I'm sorry. I got enlightened. I got to see the truth. Amen. I love the truth. Thank God for it. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Paul is a hero. He's my hero. He should be your hero. 13 books, man. That what the 13 books were for the church to help straighten out the church. I'm not a hyper-dispensationist because the hyper-dispensationist, only the 13 books of the New Testament of Paul's writings are only good for the church. I mean, we get our doctrine, but this Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. I mean, I thank God for the whole Bible. I love preaching from the Old Testament. I love preaching about David. I love to preach about Moses and Joshua. I love to preach about the other things. There's some things in there you can hold on to and believe, amen? And you can tie it in with the New Testament. Paul was a great hero, great man, educated man, loved God. And, man, I tell you what, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, I mean, brother, I tell you, he was unstoppable after that. You know when Paul asked God to take the thorn in his flesh away, and we all believe it was blindness. He was going blind. Why? Because the light, he was blind for 3 days. And we believe that that's what his thorn in the flesh was. But everybody's got a thorn in the flesh. You ask God to help you with it. Ask God to take it away. The only way that thorn in the flesh, most of the time in us is to keep us humble. If you'll stay humble with God. A lot of times the thorn in the flesh in a lot of Christians' life, it'll end up taking them away from God. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to be able to say that in the end of my life. I want to be able to say at the end of my life that I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I want to be able to finish. I want to be able to finish, man, with honor. I don't want to finish. Like I remember Jack Wood said, a lot of times old preachers, as they get older, he said they make a mess, talking about like a cow would. And he said they'd step back into it and make a bigger mess. And I don't want to be like that. I want to, man, finish my course. I want to finish my fight. I want to keep on staying on course. I don't want to get off course. I want to stay serving God and keep my eyes on the prize of the high calling of God. He said, I fought a good fight. And you know what most people do? They end up fighting each other. That's not a good fight. They end up fighting each other, fighting other Christians. We got Christians sitting at home, and they're mad at somebody, they're upset with somebody, and they'd rather fight that person than get right with God. Hey, God help us. And that's the only fight you can pick. Fine. I'm going to tell you something. Go get you a handful of tracks, go out, try to win somebody to God. See what kind of fight you're going to run into there. It seems like every Saturday night I go through a fight. Every Saturday night. Whenever you get ready to preach, you go through a fight. I think it's good for the guys to get up here and preach. But why? And a lot of times I just do it right off the cuff because if I gave you a week ahead of time, you go through a fight for a whole week. And that, maybe that's good. I mean, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You go through a whole week fighting something. You'll be, man, trying to stay right with God and somebody will tick you off and you'll go, I got to stay right with God. I got to preach on Sunday. Oh, man. God, have mercy. Help me. Lord, help me. And I'm going to have to say something. I mean, it's a fight. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know what I want? You know what my desire is? I want to see every Christian be able to have a crown. I want to see everybody. I want to hoard all the crowns and nobody else can get what I'm going to get. I'm going to keep it all myself. I'm not like that. I want to see everybody get a crown. Why? Because it's available for everybody. Every individual in here can have a crown. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and you don't have nothing to throw at Jesus' feet? So what do you mean throw it at Jesus' feet? You read the book of Revelation, you find the 24 elders falling down and casting their crowns at Jesus' feet. And the crowns is what you'll get from when you go through the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it says all your works will be cast into that fire. And what comes out is going to be what you've done for God. I remember Doc used to say, he said, you know what? When it comes down to nobody knows what I've done for God, nobody patted me back on the back, nobody gave me any money, nobody did anything for me, and nobody recognized me, he said, I can count on one hand that nobody knew. That scared me there, sitting in the classroom. I thought, my God, if he says that, Oh, my Lord. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me all. I like that, the righteous judge. It says, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's one right there every Christian can get. Every Christian in this room can get a crown. There's available. Love his appearing. So how do you do that? You stay in focus in the Word of God. You stay witnessing. You keep your light shining for Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, even so, come Lord Jesus. Last prayer of the Bible, even so, come Lord Jesus. Keep your focus right. Keep your eyes right. Your heart right. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he says, for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of people. We was talking the other night. If all the people that came got saved to this church and got saved and went out, how many folks we would have? Man, we probably couldn't get them in the gym. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of people saved, probably in the thousands. Man, we've seen so many saved. Brother, I tell you what, it'd be something to see. I pray, God, bring them back. Amen. Bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. Henceforth, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but on all them that love his appearing. There's a thing you can say, God, help me love you. Do thy diligence come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed on Thessalonica, Christ on the Galatia, and Titus on the Dalmatia, and only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, and he is profitable for me for the ministry. This is John Mark that he's talked about. John Mark that he had a big fight with in Acts chapter 15 with Barnabas over. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee. He is profitable unto me for the ministry. That's showing you Paul is growing some. He's grown some in his spiritual walk. He's not holding a grudge. He's not bitter at people when he's got over. But, I mean, Paul had an argument. He did have an argument. If I was going to side with whoever, I would say, you know, Paul did have an argument, but Barnabas was showing more grace because Barnabas went after Paul, though. Paul was brought to the disciples or the apostles because of Barnabas. Barnabas had grace with people, and he cared about people, and not saying that Paul didn't. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. He says, the cloak that I have left at Troas, which Carpus, when thou comest, bring hither, bring with thee. He says, but in the books, especially the parchments, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, for the Lord rewarded him according to his works. It's something about that word Alexandra, that last name. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You know, every time I read that, I look out the windows and I look across the street, and on that side of the street, there's all the people named Alexander. They built that house over there. Now, when Manny bought that house over there, he put a window facing the church. But those people built them houses over there so they wouldn't have to look at the church. Their last name's Alexander. Now, if you're watching, Alexander, you need to get saved. But that whole side was all Alexander. Every time I thought about that, every time I read that, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou also, beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. What a thing. Sound like what Jesus Christ went through, don't it? He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. And he says, but by all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I mean, here, Paul's grown. He said, I don't want God to lay that to their charge, even though they forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Praise God. When you got Jesus, you got a majority, brother. When you got Jesus, you got a majority. He says, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me on his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesimus. And it says, Erasmus abode at Corinth, but Tromus, I left at Melita sick. Do thy diligence, come before me. Winter, and Imbus, imbus, I can't say that word right. Somebody say that word. Embolus. Embolus. Where do I get that from? Embolus. Well, it's going to have to stick. Greet thee, Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Amen. Father, I pray, God, that you'd please help now. And Lord, thank you, God, for this book. Lord, I thank you for 1 and 2 Timothy. What a great book, the Bible. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for all the New Testament books, God. But I thank you, God, that Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. And Lord, that Paul wrote these letters to him and these epistles. And God, Timothy, as far as I know, obeyed what Paul had wrote to him. And Lord, Father, I pray, God, you'd help us to obey and for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul said, he said to Timothy in verse 21, he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. What made me think about today, about the snow, I started thinking about being outside working and all, the ground's hard. He says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Wintertime's a tough time. There's four seasons. You got the springtime, which is a good time. When the weather's nice, man, you want to be outside. I started thinking about fall. That's when leaves start falling in a man's life. You start thinking about your own life. You probably have four seasons. Springtime, being born, summer, growing up, teenage years, then the fall as you get older. Gray hair starts coming on the top of the roof. And then wintertime comes. Wintertime comes and, man, it really, gray hair comes up. But what happens is you got to guard against getting hard. You got to guard against getting cold. Samson, I was checking the weather this morning. Where Samson's at, I think it's 4 degrees, and it's like 10 degrees below zero up there. And I thought, thank God I'm up there. Hallelujah. It's cold enough here. Jesse, we always talk about going to Florida. Always getting down there, you know, but Florida, man, no matter where you go, it's going to be something. No matter where you go. No matter where you end up at, it's going to be something. There is no perfect place on this planet that I think you can go. So, well, what about Hawaii? It rains a lot. And you got volcanoes. You got volcanoes over there. You got stuff going on around the world, man. It makes no difference where you go. You go to Australia. You go out there and there's something bites you. Something waiting on you. And no matter where you go, in this world, it's not going to be perfect. That's for sure. Paul said, come before winter. He asked Timothy, he said, come up before winter. Wintertime is the hard time to work. And as I get older, I realize the things that, you know, you think, I don't want to admit it. As I get older, I don't want to admit that I can't do what I used to do. I don't want to admit that. And I won't admit it. In my mind, I watch boxing. And I watched a fight last night. Squeaky called me about this fight. And I'm thinking, I could probably still get in there. I could probably still do it. I mean, I'm sure I'm still fast, but I'm probably slow as anything they look at that guy. But in my mind, it's there. But my body, it starts decaying. Things start happening. Wintertime comes. Winter's beautiful. I read about a man this morning that a lady wrote about him. She said, as he got older, he got sweeter. As he got older, he just got closer to God. And she talked about how sweet he was and how he never talked about anybody, how he always tried to encourage everybody. I knew some men like that. Dan Gilbert was one of them. Dan Gilbert was a man that helped us. And when he was going to Bible, he got saved. When he got saved, and then he was in the horse racing. And he had a bunch of horses, but he had one particular horse that he was running down there in Florida, and he got saved, and a preacher was preaching a message one time about surrendering all, and he said, he went to the altar, and he said, God, I surrender. He said, Lord, if you don't want me in a horse racing, I pray you'll kill that animal. And guess what happened? A veterinarian came out to give the animal a shot. He had insurance on this horse. I don't know if it was $250,000, $500,000. I don't know what it was. But he went out there, the veterinarian came out and gave the shot. He thought it was giving a vitamin shot to the horse because it was getting ready to go to the race. And he said that they shot that horse with something else. They killed that horse. He said, man, Dan was like, okay, God. He didn't get mad. He knew he had insurance on it too. And that veterinarian company had to pay, their insurance had to pay him. That's where I met Dan Gilbert down in Greenville, South Carolina. When I got there, Dan and Sam were, man, they were just sweet folks. They loved God. And Dan was, any way he possibly could, he helped us. I remember times being in Bible school in Pensacola. I would say to my wife, I said, I wish we had the money to go out to Wendy's. That's when Wendy's first came in. Hamburgers used to be a lot thicker and all that stuff. And I said, I wish we could go to Wendy's. I put my hand in my pocket. After we tithed, we had nothing. We had no money. And I remember putting my hand in my pocket. Dan was sitting next to me. I pulled out a $50 bill. My wife said, you holding out on us? No, that's all I had. I mean, Dan put a $50 bill in my pocket. But Dan got sweeter as the days went by. They said this man that got sweeter and everything, he was getting ready to die, and his family wanted him to sign the paper of, you know, his in the inheritance for everybody. And he had the will already set, but he never signed it. And he said it got down there just before he died. They put the papers in front of him, and he said, they said, okay, Grandpa, go ahead and sign. Go ahead and sign the paper. Go ahead and sign it. And they were anxious to get him to sign it. And he looked up at it, took a pen, and he wrote Jesus, and then fell off dead. I don't know if that worked for the state or not. I don't know if that worked. But all he could think about was Jesus. I tell you this, as days go by, you know, as years go by, I hope you don't get hard. Paul said, come before winter. Why? It's a hard time. Ground gets hard. Heart gets hard. Everything gets hard. It gets twice as hard to do. If you're going to do something for God, you better do it while you can. You better do it while you got some springtime in your life, some summertime in your life, and some fall time in your life. You better do it. If not, it's going to get to a place where you're going to wish to God you could. I'm going to say this. You ought to be in church as much as you can. You ought to raise your children for the Lord. You say, well, why do we run buses? I was reading the statistics. Out of 253 converts between the age of 20 and under, 138 got saved. Why? Springtime. Between the age 20 to 30, 85. Between 30 and 40, 22. Between 40 and 50, 4. Between 50 and 60, 3. Between 60 and 70, 1. Over 70, 0. Why? It's wintertime comes in, you get hard. You know what it is? They say, well, I've seen everything. I've heard everything. My dad got saved. That was a miracle. My dad got saved. Because every time I'd witness to my dad, he'd say, oh, that's that Seventh-day Adventist junk. Or that's that Catholic junk. And all he'd tell me all that stuff. And, man, I remember weeping over my dad. You know what? When you weep over people, there's something about it. God softens that ground. He softens your ground and softens that ground. I mean, Paul said, when you come, bring the cloak. Bring the parchments. Bring those things that I need. He said, when you come. I mean, man, Paul's life, he was, I mean, always on the line. Paul's life was always on the line. Man, he was constantly on the line. He knew time was getting close. He wrote 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, my time of departure is at hand. He knew he was going to die. He knew Rome was getting ready to take him. Why? He was ready to die. I remember talking to Brother Jack. He used to come to church here. Brother Jack, he used to always say, man, I'm going to go home. I remember getting down beside Dr. Rubin. He said to me, pray that God take me home. Pray God take me home. He says, I'm no good to nobody. I'm no good to nobody. I can't do anything no more. He said, I can't see. I can't read. I can't preach anymore. I can't do that. I was down beside the bed. And I said, yo, yes, I'm not praying that. No way. I'm not praying that God take you home. I'm praying that. He goes, what good am I? What good am I? I said, you're teaching us how to die right. Man, you got to have something to do in this life. You better do something while you can. You better do it while you're young. Why? It comes a time. You're not going to have the desire to do it. You're going to get to the door and you're going to say, man, it's too cold out there. Man, things are just too rough out there right now. There's people sitting at home right now that wish they could come to church. Young people, man, don't ever get to the place where you say, oh, I got to go to church again. I got to go to church. I was made to go to church. Yeah, you were made to go to school too. You were made to do a lot of things. I'll tell you what, church is one of the best things. You don't get to the place and say, oh, I just got to go to church again. You ought to thank God. I got saved at 18 years old. Man, I went to church. I've been in church ever since I got saved. I mean, but if it wasn't for somebody helping me to stay in, it was Brother John. Help me stay in. And God started tenderizing my heart more and more. I guess I was in my summertime days then. I was in my springtime when I got saved, but Summertime started growing in my life. I wanted to serve God. Still do. Wintertime comes in your life. Wintertime stops a lot of things that you want to do. It'll stop you. It'll stop that the production in your life. You know, you don't see, you see farmers doing some stuff out there right now, but preparing for spring. That's what they're doing. They're preparing for the springtime when the ground gets soft again. I mean, they're not out there, you know, plowing the ground, trying to get, you know, the put some seed in the ground now. No. I mean, you better put some seed in there. And I tell you, young people, what I would do, I would pray, God, help me to stay tender for you, God. Throughout the year, throughout my life. Why? You're going to have people say stuff about you. Jesse and I was talking about that, them preacher kids that grew up. Dad was evangelist or pastor's kids. And what happens is they start hearing other people talk about their dad. They start hearing other people talking about this, talking about that. It makes them hard towards church and Christians. You better be careful what you do. Paul said, come before winter. He said, bring John Mark with you. Paul got more tender towards the end. Time is short, man. The Bible says redeem the time. You know one thing we are good at? I'll tell you what we're good at. Wasting time. We are good at that. We're really good at that. I'm good at that. Wasting time. And I remember Doc said, man, every time I seen Doc, he was always doing something, always busy doing something. And he said this. He said, John Wesley wouldn't waste 15 minutes sitting there talking to a person. After 15 minutes, he'd walk away. Why? As he got older, he realized his time was short. And I realized this. You can't be rude to people. You got to talk to people. I got people calling me all the time. I got to talk to people. Sometimes it's foolishness. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes I talk foolishness. But redeem the time. It's going to come a time. There's some people sitting at home. Brother Bob called me. Oh, man, he wants to be in church. You know, when Brother Bob was able, he was here. When Brother Bob was able, he was here. There's some things that you ought to create in your own life, and you ought to be some good habits. You ought to create some good habits in your life. Memorize it. When's the last time you memorized a verse in your Bible? When's the last time you hid the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God? Young people, you got the best memory. You ought to be memorizing the Word of God. You've got the best one. So I got to go to school. I got, you know, and my wife teaches the homeschool, so it's Becky and Ruth and all, but those kids memorizing Scripture. And that's good. Why? It'll keep them from sin. The Word of God. When you try to do something, a verse pops in your head. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? When you're getting ready to think about something bad, something pops in your head. It's a verse. God, the Holy Spirit brings that back to you. Create some good habits in your life when you're young. Why? Because you get older, it's hard to do anything. I was talking to somebody the other day. They're 80 years old. They said time seemed like it just went by like that. I'll be 65 coming up. Man, wintertime's setting in. Wintertime's in. I still want to do more. I still want to do something for God. I mean, I want the Lord to use me. Don't you? What happens is when you get older, you're supposed to be looking towards, oh, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm just going to sit there. You know what I found? People that retire from up north, they go down south, they retire down in Florida, they end up dead in a year. A couple years, they say, well, how's retirement life? They're bored. Sitting around bored. What kind of life is that? Well, I go to the beach. Well, you don't know nobody. You know what you ought to do? You ought to try to be kind to people. You ought to try to love one another. You ought to work on that. You say, well, I have a hard time with that, people. You ought to work on it. Lord, help me to love people. You know, I've told this, the guys called to preach, if you're going to be a pastor, you better love people. I told Samson that. I've told Chris that. I've told Tim that. Love people. If you don't love them, they don't know it. Amen. I've been with preachers, they say, oh, that dirty, rotten people, them people, blah, blah. Man, you won't hear me talking about you. You won't hear me saying, oh, I can't stand them people. But I don't care how rude, how crude you are. I don't care what you've done. Now, some people I want to strangle. Some people, I pray for more. You ought to thank God for your health. Thank God the Lord's given you good health. Why? Because the wintertime might come in your life and you don't thank God for what you had. We're the most unthankful people. Yeah, last days, the Bible says men should be unthankful, unholy. Thank God for your health. Thank God the Lord's been good to you. I do. I thank God, man. I tell you what, I'm still able to carry shingles. Hallelujah. And you know what I like to do? I like to mess with guys 20 and 30 years old. That's something the old guys like to have. Outdo the young guys. I remember I had Sarah Mason's husband. He was helping me on the roof down in Dover one day. And we're up there working, and we're going around. And he's the Air Force or Army. He was Army. And we're up there working. He came out to work one day with me. And we was out there, and he said, and he had blisters on his hands. He was whining about his hands. And he said, he was sitting around. At the end of the day, we've got something to eat. And he goes, I said, I'm going to pay you. He goes, preacher, don't pay me. I said, I'm paying you today for the day. He said, no, don't pay me. He said, you work circles around me. He said, I'm 20 years old, 20-some years old. You work so hard. I said, something about old guys like to hear that. Huh? He was in the Army. Thank God for your health. Kindness in one another. Thank God for the blessings he's given you. Look around, man. Take a little time. Take a little time and look around at all the blessings. You know what I like to do? I like to sit and watch people. Especially when we're in the gym, we're having to get the kids to run around playing. I love watching that. I love to see kids smiling. I don't like to see kids crying. I love to see kids running, playing, having fun. I love that. And something about it, when you get older, you start paying attention to things more. That's why they talk about being a grandparent. You know, they say, well, you can spoil the kids and send them home to parents. We don't spoil the kids and send them home to parents. We love them, care for them. The kids like to be around them. But helping the parents train the children. Amen. That's what grandparents ought to do. Amen. Help train them. Make it easier on the family. Study the Word of God while you got a chance, while you're young. I mean, man, redeem the time. The Bible says time is short. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says time is short. Now, I believe time is short, folks. I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. Now, if I die tomorrow and you get up there, well, it wasn't his lifetime. But I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. I really do. I want to be in good health, thanking God. I mean, having kindness towards people, doing my job, witnessing to people, trying to see people saved. I told my wife one time, I said, you know what? When we're growing older, I want to be just like Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert was always helping people, always encouraging people, always trying to help be a blessing. That guy was the oldest guy at that time that went to Bible school. I think he was in his 50s, went to Bible school. Then he was the oldest guy. He went to California and started the church. I got to preach in that church while I was out there. His son was killed in California, his youngest boy. I told the deacon at the church that night, I got there on a Wednesday night. His son Dave was the pastor of the church, and he died. These are kids I knew. I knew Dan's kids. When I went to Bible school in South Carolina, Dan was there. He had a big, nice, beautiful home that he rented, swimming pool and everything. His boys were teenagers. And the little one, just a little, his name was, Jimmy. So I got pictures in my phone. I told the deacon, where was the church originally where Dan started? So he drove us there that night, on a Wednesday night. I pulled up there and I said, I got out of the car and I said to the deacon, I said, where was Jimmy killed at? He said, we were all out here. And he said, I had my pickup truck tailgate down. And Jimmy, they were playing ball. And a guy come around the corner, there's a bend there. A guy come around the corner, cut the curve, he was moving. Cut the curve too and hit Jimmy and killed him. And I remember calling Dan, him and Joan, and them weeping and crying. Dan was an older man. He lived to 80-some years old. And Dan, I went out there, I got pictures of where it was, where Jimmy was killed, in the church there. I never got to see it. Dan called me up before I came to this church. Dan called me up and he said, Brother Allen, I was living in Washington, D.C. He said, Brother Allen, he said, I've been praying. I believe, man, if the Lord leads you, he said, I got 10 churches out here that will support you if you want to come to California. And I said, for what? He said, you good with young people. He said, we'll start a rescue mission. He said, there's 10,000 young people walking Hollywood Boulevard every day looking to be discovered, and they're being used and abused and put in prostitution. Girls and kids run away from home. They end up being slaves. He said, we can rent a building there and set it up where the kids can come in and you can present the gospel to them. And I prayed. I was praying hard about it. Linda and I got to go out there. Samson, me and Lynette and Samson and Linda, we went on Hollywood Boulevard. And we walked at, Hollywood Boulevard. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a trashy place. People think, Hollywood, that's trashy. I'm telling you, it's trashy. The only pictures of, they have stars in the sidewalk. The only pictures I took was Daffy Duck, Donald Duck, the stars of fame. I didn't, and Donald Trump. That's what Donald Trump was in there. That's the only ones I took. You know, the Chinese theater there, people urinate all over that thing. Everywhere, man, it's just a trashy place. People want to go to Hollywood to be discovered. Linda and I both walked down Hollywood Boulevard trying to pat people hard. I mean, hard as a rock. Sin makes you hard. Amen. Big sin. And I mean, we walked down Hollywood Boulevard, and she looked at me. She said, oh, thank God we didn't come here.
Amen.
People so hard. Paul said, come before winter. Time is short. You better redeem the time while you got a chance. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, it says, it's high time to wake out of your sleep. You're kind of in a slumber because that late out seeing church is half asleep. You ought to thank God we got a Bible-believing church here.
Amen.
And we preach the Bible.
Yep.
We have faults. You're going to find faults here. You don't have to go very long. You'll find something. You won't like this person. You won't like that person. I don't like that. Shut up. Thank God we got a Bible-believing church that people can come to and hear the Word of God and get saved.
Amen.
We can sing praises to God. And I never want winter time to set in here. Spiritually, it can happen. A lot of churches today, hard. A bunch of old people sitting in there talking about, I wish we could do this. I wish we could do that. We got buses. We got all that. We got everything we need. Really? You tell me what we don't have? And we need it, we'll get it. We'll find a way. A limousine, you want a limousine, we'll get it. We're blessed. We want to keep springtime. Keep it tender. These little kids like Cody Two Sleeps. I was just waiting to say that all day. I love that. Thank God we still preach the Bible, still believe it. We have our faults, but thank God we still got what we need. Keep it tender. Don't let winter set in your life. I don't care how old you are. Don't care how old you are. I've been around churches. That man, the preachers is hard, and nobody lines up. Nobody is good enough, and all that stuff. And the church's going to die right with them. We don't want to die. We want to keep it going. Paul said, "Bring the cloak, bring the books, the parchment, bring those things that are important. They were important to Paul. He said, bring them books. We got a book." 66 books in one. And then he said, bring that cloak. That cloak was a covering. It was a covering. Keep them warm in the wintertime. God's dealt with your heart. Say, God, help me to be tender towards you. Help me be tender towards this old stinking wicked world and try to win people to Jesus Christ. Because they'll see it. They'll see whether you mean what you say. Amen. They'll see it. They can look in your eyes and tell. I don't want nobody, man, stand at the judgment, the white throne judgment and say, them people didn't care. Them people didn't have no love. Them people didn't go the extra mile. They didn't do it. Boy, I tell you what, I want the Lord to be pleased with us. I've been pastoring here 34 years. Coming up 34 years. I always want to say, keep it, Lord God, hot and tender. Springtime, not winter. Hardness, I don't want to be that way. Amen. I want to stay tender. Raise your children to love God. Mike was talking about if you go home and run everybody down, the kids will get that same attitude. Amen. Witness while you can. We got 70,000 tracks in. We can witness while we can. Don't let the Word of God do it. Let the track do it. But put it out. Here we are. Tomorrow starts February 1st. We are already 31 days in the new year. 31 days. Let's do something. Let's keep our focus, man. Keep our focus. Well, we got a lot against us. We got a lot against us. We got the world against us. We got the flesh. The Democrats. I read a post somebody put on the post today. It said, God created men and women. The Democrats created all the other genders. I wrote that down. But thank God, we still believe the book. And boy, it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to preach men and women, if they pass on, that I can get up and say. I said this about Mo the other day. I said, you know, good thing about it? I said, I don't have to lie. I don't have to lie. Mo loved God. He got saved here at this church. As I told the story, his family started laughing. I said, a woman was sitting on the front row of her son, and the preacher got up there, and he was telling all these great things about this woman's husband. And finally, she nudged her son. She said, go up there in the casket, see if that's your father in there. Boy, I tell you what, you want something good to be said about you and be right. Come before winter. Bring what's important. Keep what's important, the focus in your life. Lord, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. My Father, I pray, God, thank you for this church. I thank you for the men and women that work. God, the people that do what they do, not so they can get a position, not so they can get a pat on the back. I thank you for all the men and women that work, the bus drivers, the bus workers, Sunday school teachers, God, children's church, and Brother Ken and others that work in the junior church. And God, on Wednesday night, and Brother Michael Shane and Miss Brittany over there with the teens. And Lord, thank you for my associate pastor. And God, I thank you, God, for all the many blessings you've blessed this church with. God, you, Brother Jesse, piano players. And we got a couple piano players, and thank you for them. Brother Jesse singing and being an evangelist out of the church. Brother Maurice out of the church. Brother Tim, others that's out of this church that's serving you. Michael Payton. My Father, I pray, God, Samson, I pray bless all of them. Help us, God, to stay tender. I know you'll use us if we stay tender. Help us be like that Philadelphian church in this Laodicean period. Lord, help us never get to the Laodicean period where we just hard, cold, tired, wore out, and don't want to do no more. Help us to keep that door open for us, Lord. Help our people to have a desire and want to see these little children get saved. 138 from the age 20 and under out of 230-some. Oh, God. Come before winter. Lord, I pray, God, help us to be faithful. Help Faith Baptist Church always living in springtime when it comes to our tenderness towards you, that we might bring forth more life, more fruit. And God, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're not going to have church tonight, but we're going to do a recording for the services tonight. Brother Mike, we'll do a recording right after church here. Give him a few minutes. All right. Lord bless you. See you Wednesday.